Next is the psalm, Psalm 73, and we will read this responsively so you can follow me or join me in the parts in bold. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from common human burdens. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, "How would God know? Does the Most High know anything?" This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. If I had spoken out like that, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell you all your deeds. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Good evening. It's good to be here. Let us pray. Almighty God, may my words now point us all to your words, that your Holy Spirit will empower us into deeper love for you, and this through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. The Book of Psalms has been and is the enduring prayer book of the people of God. They were included in the Old Testament as they expressed just about every emotion towards God. Christ himself would have prayed many of those psalms. They're extensively quoted in the New Testament. While the Psalms are mostly speaking to God, when we read them with faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit within, God is actually speaking to us. We can hear him speaking to us. And so for the next 4 weeks, our journey is going to be hearing God in the Psalms. And this evening, we're particularly going to be looking at Psalm 73. And when we do so, we will be reminded that when we have a vibrant faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us the wisdom for navigating our lives as he guides us to be with him eternally. Whether you've been walking with the Lord for as long as you can remember, or whether you've recently come to faith, or whether you may have had a more vibrant faith in years gone by and somehow you drifted away because the grass was greener on the other side of the fence, but now you've come back to faith. Psalm 73, it speaks to all of us. It's in two sections. If you want to follow in the Bible, it's on page 500 or 832. The first section is about the psalmist's trial of faith. The second section is about his renewal of faith. The psalm opens with this very settled declaration: surely God is good to Israel, those who are pure in heart. So the author's journey, reflected in Psalm 73, is a man of faith, even if it was a little bit shaky, who goes through a trial of faith to a refreshed encounter with God, resulting in the renewal of faith. Is that not a journey that many Christians have taken or are taking? Coming to faith as a young person, that then falsely believing that life has much to offer apart from walking with Jesus Christ, and so step by step sliding away, slip sliding away, but then later returning to God and finally being settled and secure in faith in Christ. That's a journey I took. It's a journey that I know many Christians took, and now they are mature Christians. Psalm 73 helps us to understand that journey and, if relevant, to avoid taking a similar journey. More than that, however, when we look around at our rapidly changing world, it gives us wisdom to help process those changes as we look to and live for the sovereign God who we believe is always in control. Psalm 73 is a psalm, therefore, of recollection. It is only after the trial of faith and its renewal that the psalmist can be sure of his opening declaration that surely God is good to those who love, to those who are pure in heart. During this crisis that he had, the only thing he was sure about is in verses 13 and 14. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments, he said. He could not have believed that God is good to his people if he also believed that God was punishing him for no reason. As the psalmist made that opening declaration about the goodness of God, I wonder, can you? If you can, rejoice. If you cannot, then maybe you are exposing yourself to a coming trial of faith. Yet the psalmist qualifies God's goodness. It is to those who are pure in heart. In the Bible, the term heart, it usually means the core of one's being, who we are. And in this psalm, the word heart is used six times, pointing strongly to that's the theme of the psalm. One's attitude, the condition of one's heart, determines one's attitude towards God. The pure heart of verse 1 results in understanding God's goodness. The calloused heart of verse 7 belongs to the arrogant and the wicked. The psalmist's grieved heart of verse 21 resulted in him being embittered in spirit. Yet, by the psalm's conclusion in verse 26, God is the strength of the psalmist's heart. In some ways, Psalm 73 puts the blowtorch to our hearts to see how we're traveling with God. So, how would you describe your heart towards God in these very days? How do you think and feel and act towards him? More pointedly, have you opened the door of your life, your heart, and invited Jesus in as Lord and Savior? Those who have done so, Are you now growing in faith, growing in love, and able to assert, surely God is good? In verses 2 to 3, we see the psalmist's problem. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. The psalmist was trying to walk the straight path with God, but because he lacked this settled belief that God is good, he almost stumbled and fell away from the faith. Why was that? Verse 3 answers, "For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He had taken his eyes off God. He'd taken his eyes away from what he knew about God, that surely he was good. And as a consequence, he had stopped reflecting on God himself and allowed this self-focused envy to grip him. What he saw in those apparently who walked without God was a prosperity and an arrogance that somehow attracted him. Friends, if we want to avoid a trial of faith, it's vital that we keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. We do well to reflect, even meditate, on what today's Colossians 1 reading says about him. The Son is the image of the invisible God. We can see God through Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Filling our minds with Christ, who he is, what he has done, will keep in their proper place all those many worldly distractions which are trying to draw us away from him. That's what happened to the author of Psalm 73. Asaph was his name. He was a choir leader in King David's tabernacle. He describes what his heart had settled upon. In his view, distorted as it was, such arrogant people who despise God, well, they had no struggles, no common burdens, even no illness. Therefore, they were proud, violent, callous, evil. If we think closely about that description of these people, it's clearly OTT, over the top, overblown. His view of reality had become quite distorted. Verse 8 is worth highlighting. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. And verse 9 implies that such people speak as though they know everything, as they, quote, lay claim to heaven. And the result being that their people, in other words, those who also have discarded God, turn to them and drink up their waters in abundance, saying, how would God know? Verses 13 and 14 show us the psalmist hits his nadir, the bottom. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I've been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. He's tried to walk this straight path with God, but he took his eyes off him, and he suffered accordingly. In a similar way, if we take our eyes off Jesus, we too will suffer, and we will make choices in life which will bring us suffering. If we disregard God and disregard being obedient to him and so being blessed by him, tonight reflect and read slowly again that passage from Deuteronomy chapter 30. That I've just spoken about was Asaph's trial of faith. Let's go to the second half and speak about the renewal of faith. The first step in any renewal is to remember. Verse 15, if I had spoken out like that, meaning to say publicly that he'd backed the wrong horse, so to speak, in trying to keep a pure heart and walk with God, if I'd done that, then, he said, I would have betrayed your children, meaning he had a position, a public position in a gathering of God's people, and if he'd spoken about what he felt, he would have betrayed them. The psalmist had taken his eyes off God, developed this distorted view of the godless, considered that he'd acted without benefit in trying to walk the straight path with the Lord, yet he could not even speak about it for fear of misguiding people. He had his back against the wall in a corner. And it was like this, till I entered the sanctuary of God. This, verse 17, is the turning point. This is where the fog lifts and he can see clearly. When he consciously turned back to God, not only in intellectual acknowledgement of who he is, but in actually going to the tabernacle where he was present. Are there people listening at the moment feeling more like they're having a trial of faith rather than a close walk with Jesus? People who have known God in the past, they may have had an active faith through church or Sunday school or something like that, but now as they've stepped away from him, life's not going so well. If that's you, Psalm 73 speaks to you and it says what to do. In the Old Testament language, in one's mind, turn back to God, in one's actions, go into his presence. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle. In New Testament language, that means go somewhere quiet, even like this beautiful church. Get on your knees, speak to God. He will be listening. Say to him you're sorry for sidelining him in your life. Ask his forgiveness. He will grant it. Then resolve to reconnect with him through reading and reflecting on his word, the Bible, through prayer, through worship, through service. The psalmist reconnected, and the remainder of the psalm shows how that worked out in his life. Once the fog had cleared, he could say of his renewal of faith, then I understood their final destiny. He had received wisdom from God and now had clarity of mind. As he declared in the opening verse, surely God is good. With this newfound clarity and godly wisdom, he could equally declare of the godless, verse 18, surely you place them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they're destroyed, completely swept away by their terrors. In other words, they may run from God, but they can't hide. And whether God calls them to account in real time or at the end time, the wicked fall, as one commentator put it, utterly and inevitably from their proud status of prosperity. Verse 21 is an important verse where anyone may think, God would never have me back. It says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, God. In retrospect, the psalmist sees that when he was in this state of envy and bitterness, that his self-centered thoughts made him ignorant of God. I was a brute beast before you. Yet God did not disbandon him. He patiently waited for the psalmist to turn. So be rid of any thought that God would not have you back. Jesus has done everything possible for you to be restored, but you need to act. Given all that has transpired so far in this psalm, the closing verses from verse 23 are, as one commentator put it, unsurpassed in the record of man's response to God. Listen again, the psalmist speaking to God, having been renewed in faith, verse 23. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Can you sense the settled conviction in those words? The psalmist had almost fallen away, but deep down there was something that stopped him. And he now understands that all along, while he may have been a brute beast before God, God did not abandon him. And God has not abandoned anyone who is far away from him. The psalmist is saying to God that while he was in this state of crisis of faith, God held or grasped him by his hand, guided him with his counsel, and in the end will receive him into glory. Grasped, guided, and into glory by God. Have you fallen away from the Lord? Know that he is still with you. He is waiting for you to turn back to him through Jesus. He wants to grasp your hand and guide your life into an eternal glory with him. And as for those of us who are listening, who've already made their way back to God through faith in Jesus, let us hear clearly how the psalmist concludes and make that our same conviction. Verse 28. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge, with the result being, listen to this, I will tell of your deeds. That is what Christ's ambassadors do. We speak about God's love towards us and what he has done in our lives. Called us to the cross, forgiven us for our sins, given us the Holy Spirit, and how our lives have changed. And we strive daily to walk closer with Jesus. People of God, surely God is good to those who are pure in heart. Surely our world is full of distractions that want to draw us away from him. Surely, if we have been drawn away, God is patiently waiting for us to turn and come back. And surely, the path back is through faith in Jesus Christ and relating to him in Bible and prayer and worship and service. And surely, he is with us all the time. And he will hold us by our right hand and guide us with his wisdom. And afterwards, he will take us into glory. May it be so for us all. Amen.